Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. Brad and I are here, ready to talk some Giants baseball. I took a look at the spring training dates, and for the Giants, pitchers and catchers report in exactly a week and one day.
And we don't have a non-roster invitee list yet, right?
We do not.
Jeez. Only a week away, man.
So we'll get into some of the roving instructors that the Giants are bringing back for spring training. And before that, I just want to mention, of course, like and subscribe helps us very much. Liking this video, subscribing to this channel on the audio side. If you subscribe to our audio network as well, that helps. You know, we've actually been doing a small increase in downloads of late overall to the channel, not just usually this show, because the channel started with this show, still does the most loyal downloads, which we appreciate, but the overall channel got a little bit of a bump, so that was cool to see. So if we have any new listeners, subscribing to our feed is the best way to make sure you don't miss anything, but also to help us. And I'll give this tease out. People have been sort of hearing some WNBA talk in the death lineup. You know, Buster Posey should really hire Brian, my son, just to kind of make phone calls, because Brian is good at finding email addresses. He's good at cold emailing people, and he must be writing these in a nice way because people get back to him. I think he's hot on the heels of a very strong WNBA women's college basketball writer who we're trying to get on our show. So that is possible in the future. So that's pretty cool. You know, the thing that he does, and I've seen this before because I've seen some of his emails, and he's never called me this in his entire life, but in his proper emails, he writes that the death lineup is a podcast with he and his father instead of dad. So I guess father is more, I don't know.
Maybe Apple Intelligence told him father instead of dad. I don't know.
So that'll be forthcoming. And then also Super Bowl Sunday is this weekend, and Rod and I will be up Sunday evening at some point after the Super Bowl, talking about the Super Bowl and also the latest in the 49ers. And then Brian and I will be back Thursday because the NBA trade deadline is upon us. And man, those Los Angeles teams can't catch a break. Luka Doncic just gets handed to them, just dealt right to them on a platter.
And, but then the Rams are shipping out Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, it's one superstar comes in, you got to ship out another superstar.
Here's what I hope.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, supposedly, now this is a baseball podcast, but I just want to make this correlation. I will relate it to baseball in a second. Luka Doncic, part of the reason that it seems like he is being traded is because the team fears that he has some impulse control issues, possibly around weight. He's not the most in shape guy. You know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, he goes to the beach. He's probably not taking the shirt off like most of these NBA players do. And so here's my hope, which is that he and Shohei become pals. And all of a sudden, you know, Shohei comes into July and August and he's got an extra 15 on him. And he's like, yeah, man, I've been at some of the taquerias around town with Luca. We've been hanging out, drinking some brewskis. That's what I hope. I hope
there you go.
A bad influence over to Shohei Ohtani.
So you hope he's like, hey, Shohei, you've been in America for how long and you've never had a quesadilla? let me show you what that's all about, man. And you know, a Luka Doncic quesadilla probably does not have a lot of meat. It's probably just mostly cheese, I would imagine.
Or like the burrito. He's like, oh yeah, get it wet. They throw cheese yeah, on it. They throw enchilada yeah, sauce on it.
Ooh.
That's the best way.
I had that last week, and oh boy. And the next day I was like, why did I do that? I don't understand why I did that.
It's okay though, because you're very much more in shape than Luka. You just don't have the basketball skills.
Yeah, I'm only 5'8". That's it. I mean, a little bit of an issue.
All right, so what are we going to talk about? Well, the Giants did make a trade. Neither of us were too happy with their return. So it was Taylor Rogers, the twin of Tyler Rogers. So we had the lefty-righty twin action going on last year. They traded Taylor Rogers to the Cincinnati Reds for minor league reliever Broxton Roxby. That almost...
That's a cool name.
Well, it's so cool. It almost sounded like fake. I was like, I need to look this person up. Is there truly a Broxton Roxby, or is this just like a fake person? So we got a body back.
I think when you're rushing in Road to the Show and MLB the Show to make a name, you're just like Broxton Roxby. I don't know. It rhymes.
Let's yeah, it is a very cool name though.
Yeah.
And so not only did they not get a prospect that is on anybody's radars, he's a middle reliever who throws hard and doesn't have great control. They also are taking care of half of the bill. So the Reds are paying Rogers is $6 million of his salary, and the Giants are paying the other six. So not only did they trade a left-handed reliever, and you know, that's these guys are dinosaurs in the major leagues yeah, these days, but they offered to pay for half of the money. So it's like they just wanted to get rid of Taylor Rogers. Like, did Taylor Rogers have some information on the front office? Was he a Farhan guy? Like, I'm trying to figure out why he was such an easy throwaway, you think?
Maybe he was pals with Elon Musk.
Oh, never God.
And they we got to get rid of this cat, man.
Nah, Greg Johnson is probably into that.
That's true. He probably would have kept him for that. Yeah, I don't know. That's a kind of an interesting move. Because, you know, things I've read and I've seen and, you know, I felt that when it happened was like, hey, Garrett, I think maybe there's an incoming move. And I don't know, like an hour later.
Yeah.
I think Bags got a hold of Buster Posey and Buster Posey said, no, we're good with our roster right now. And I was like, no, you're freeing up $12 million. And then, of course, then the news comes out that we're only freeing up $6 million. So it's like, okay, I don't know where that one quite went. But what do we have? Joey Lucchese, who we just got from you know, he was a free agent, signed to a minor league deal. He's a left-hander, he's on the 40 man.
Eric Miller.
No, I think he's signed to a minor league deal, so I don't even know he's on the 40 man yet. But yeah, so you've got Eric Miller and you got Joey Lucchese. I mean, that's it. And then you have some other guys in the minors, I think.
The Wizenhunt in the minors?
Wizenhunt, who they could possibly make a reliever, a back-end reliever. But it's so early in his career. Do you want to do that yet?
Yeah, you
so
probably that's why want him to be one of those 10 starters that you're going to use for the season.
And there's going to be waiver wire, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff. But again, how often, like you said, how often are you going to see a left-handed pitcher on the waiver wire who's effective? But Taylor Rogers, I mean, the Giants weren't pitching him in high leverage situations. That went to Eric Miller.
Yeah.
But again, now you're thin. So you don't, I mean, what are you saving with that $6 million? I'd love to know like what that $6 million is going to do to help the Giants, while hurting them in, the depth of left-handed pitching in the bullpen. It's a little bit frightening, but you know, we also read too that it's possible the Giants could lean on, you know, like Bivens and guys like that, and Rodriguez who were
funky righties.
Yeah, funky righties who throw super hard and are effective against left-handers. But again, all season long, I don't know, man. So it's a little bit frightening. It's a little bit of a weird move. Because again, when it happened, I thought, hey, here we go. All right, something's about to happen. and nothing happened. It's kind of like after Willy Adames. nothing happened.
I still have the Alex Bregman folks who are thinking that that's still a possibility. I don't see
it. I'm one of them.
I don't see it, but yeah. that would make people happy, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I would be fine with him. I mean, you put him at second, which he said he's willing to play. And then you've got Adames at short and you've got Chapman at third. I mean, that's, you know, three super awesome dudes.
Hell of an infield.
Yeah, that's a hell of an infield. And you get a little more pop, driving some more runs, which is what the Giants want. But at this point, we're in February now. Is that a one and done deal? I think if the Giants are going to get Bregman and they're going to get Pete Alonso, I think the fire has cooled down on those guys. Unfortunately, it's to the point where it you know, I think their agents are going to say, look, let's do a one and done deal. And then I know, but then that's, I think, where we're at. I mean, you look at Jack Flaherty, signs in Detroit, a one and done deal. Scott Harris, the GM in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And he signs him to a one and done basically. And so I think at this point of the offseason, I think that's where you go. Because if you look at it and you say, well, you know, Bregman, we can still sign Bregman to a 7-year deal. Yeah, but it's not going to be the money that was probably inflated back in November. This is way less money at this point. And I think at this point he would say, I'm going to do a one and done and then I'm going to come back. But I also think if he's going to do a one and done, it's going to be somewhere like Detroit. Because again, Detroit has that chance to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Giants are on the outside looking in. Is Bregman that guy that's going to push us over the top? I don't know. I mean, we're going to go over it later. There's three teams in front of us that did a whole lot in the National League West. So
yeah, we're going to take a look at all of the transactions of the teams in our division at the end of the show. So just let's go back to the Bregman thing for a second, because I don't know how realistic it is. It doesn't seem like it's very realistic. However, we just did this with Chapman and Snell last year. Mm-hmm. It worked with Chapman. Chapman fell in love. Well, Chapman knows the Bay Area. He played with the A's. But he came to the organization, loved the organization. They kind of put their, they basically... He was loved here. You talk to anybody. Yeah. There was nothing bad about him. On the flip side, you know, Blake Snell's Blake Snell, and he bailed after the 1 year. So you have like this 50-50 deal here. If Bregman did a 1-1, would you feel comfortable in selling the franchise on him, knowing that essentially he's coming here on a 1-1 to prove something so he can go back out in free agency, and then you have to deal with this thing all over again? But would you trust the Giants in selling him like they sold Chapman?
I would with Buster Posey. I would not with Farhan. I mean, I'm just being honest. I absolutely trust the process more with Buster Posey. And again, we'll probably go over a list of names too that are going to show up at spring training to pass Giants. And that list, I mean, just the fact that he's, you know, bringing guys back and trying to get the Giants organization back to a family situation, I think that helps more in the Bregman outlook. Again, this is all just speaking if it were to happen. And then again, if you lock in Bregman for a really long time, then I think you have to say goodbye to Tyler Fitzgerald, right? I mean, you could trade him while he's hot and get some names for him, a starting pitcher. You know, somebody's going to be looking at Tyler Fitzgerald is a Tampa Bay Rays, Miami Marlins type of player. You know, I think that's the type of guy that those teams like.
I'd keep him. You would have a veteran infield.
Yeah.
All of those guys play, by the way. But if somebody did get hurt, you could throw Fitzgerald at either position if needed. Second base is probably going to be his best spot. But also, there's going to be room in the outfield, and that makes him valuable to me. Because he's got the speed and he's got the pop, and you would just hope that he grows into this next year. But though he was on the list of Grant Brisby's guys who will probably regress, and that is also a possibility.
Well, and when you look at the outfield too, you've got Luis Matos. Let's see who else. I want to take a look real quick. You got Jung-Hoo Lee. Yeah, you've got Ramos, Jung-Hoo, and Yaz. But Yaz, you know, probably another year or so left. You got Speckler. He's on the 40
man. He's got to. They got to figure out something with him.
You absolutely have to. You got Grant McRae. You've got Luis Matos. And you've got Herrera and Encarnacion, who the Giants, I mean, he had a fantastic offseason. Marco Luciano is now an outfielder. So you've got a lot of outfielders and a lot of options. So that's why I think I'd be okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. If Tyler Fitzgerald builds on what he did, and you could possibly have like a 25-25 guy, that's my kind of baseball. I love that. Look, I want the Giants to have a team full of 20-20 guys.
If you were a big league player, you would be Tyler Fitzgerald. That is the baseball that you like to play.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. That I mean, without the power. have the power. So
We would have pumped you full of roids. You'd have been at 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would have gotten there.
Okay, so Grant Brisby, just going back to the Rogers thing, Grant Brisby had a few like pluses and minuses to this deal. So this was a very interesting stat. In Taylor Rogers' last 15 games, he didn't allow a run in 11 of them, and he had a 2.57 ERA. However, the Giants were 1-14 in those games, which comes back to what you said, which is they did not use him in any high leverage situations. They basically used him as a mop-up guy when the team was losing, and then Rogers filled innings for them. So at some point last year, Bob Melvin and coaching staff and front office decided, for whatever reason, we cannot use this guy in high leverage situations. So he also wrote that after April, which they were using him in these high leverage situations in April, post April is when they switch gears with him. Rogers would go on to strike out 57 batters in 51 and two thirds innings and have a 2.09 ERA. So this is post April when they sort of adjusted his usage. And then a thing that sort of stuck out in the analytics was that in September, he threw 172 pitches and only six of those pitches got a swing and a miss. So there's something in the data that says his stuff is not aging very well. And a lot of his future success or failure could be the result of the BABIP, the batting average on balls in play, which is, you know, kind of a luck stat in a sense. So a positive thing for Rogers, he faced 36 batters and allowed just one extra base hit in September. So that is a positive to him. So there's a kind of a balance with him. There's a plus and minus of what the data says and whether or not he could still be effective. The Reds, you know, well, I'm sure we'll see very early on their usage of him. I'm not exactly sure what their bullpen looks like, but, you know, he's a vet. He's been an all-star before. He's been a closer before. He's a savvy guy if he's being successful with only getting six swings and misses in September. So I don't disagree with the idea of trading him. The thing I disagree on them with is having to make that deal now and giving him away and really getting nothing much in return. I don't know why they had to do that now, which is, I guess, because you pitch him in, you know, April, May. He's on your staff. However you use him, you could use him again in a similar way, and his numbers look great. And then you talk another team into, you know, giving you something more for him and not eating the entire salary. So it just seems like this deal was made for some reason other than baseball success, which is my least favorite kind of deal.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the Cincinnati Reds 40-man. They've got four lefties on their 40-man. And I think three of them, including Taylor Rogers, all pitched in the majors last year. So they've got three lefties in the bullpen. So that's Cincy's situation. But yeah, that's a tough one too, because I mean, you also have, you know, the human element. You have his twin brother left behind on the Giants. He was there to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know, Taylor Rogers now at this point just kind of came and went. He was with us for a couple of years. It pitched pretty well for a couple of years. So you do have the human element of, hey, they traded my brother off of the team when they brought him in here. What does he have? I think he had 1 year left on his deal. This was it, right?
Yeah.
So like you said, I mean, they could have waited till July.
Yeah, it seems like when you have the guy who's on an expiring and he becomes pretty valuable for a team who needs a lefty for a possible playoff run, that seems to be the better strategy to me.
Yeah.
Rather than doing it now, unless they had an up-and-coming lefty who was going to take his role. And that is absolutely not the case. There is, you know, Eric Miller is going to be in the same position he was last year, which was ahead of Taylor Rogers. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. I think Moore is going to come out, I think, when spring training starts and, you know, we get a chance to talk to Bob Melvin, you know, hear what he has to say. Once everybody starts diving in, you know who's going to get to the bottom of it, who always does. It will be Susan Slusser.
Yeah, exactly.
She's our all-star, so she's going to get in there and find out exactly what's going on. So eager to hear that.
All right, let's switch gears and talk about spring training. Like I said, Wednesday is the pitchers and catchers showing up date, and then Monday, February 17, is when everyone shows up and their full squad workouts happen. I thought this was nice. It made me feel fuzzy and good, but it also made me think that this is some manipulative Buster Posey bullshit. Jeremy Affelt, Santiago Casilla, Javier Lopez, sign Javier to throw a couple innings, Joey Panic, Hunter Pence, Yusmeiro Petit, Marco Scudero, Ryan Vogelsong. They are going to be guest instructors in spring training.
I like it. I mean, you're bringing in champions, right? I'm sure Buster probably told him you're invited, but you can only show up if you wear every ring from every championship team that you're on. So, you know, that's kind of important to show, like, hey, these are the champions. But I like it because those guys weren't around the last couple of years.
Yeah.
When Farhan popped in, things changed. He wanted to get away from all of that and say, look, we're trying to build something new. I get it, but this is baseball. Baseball, we love history in baseball. Mm-hmm. That's what this game is all about. I mean, there's a reason we, you know, have an entire game in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, centered around Willie Mays. That's what this game is all about. It's not all about forgetting about where you came from and try to build something new, unless you're the Dodgers. I mean, they're trying to move on and do this whole new thing. It's not working for them.
I think it is.
But yeah, so I like that. I like bringing those guys back, bringing back some champions to, you know, talk to the kids, talk to them about what, you know, what it takes and what a grind of a season it is to win ball games. And especially this season when nobody's looking at you in 2010, 12, even 14, people weren't necessarily looking at the Giants to say that this team is going to win the World Series. We weren't. I mean, when the Giants, you know, were doing what they were doing in 2012, and all of a sudden they, what did they have? 95 wins that year, I think. And we were like, was that a 95 win team? I didn't think going into the season that was a 95 win team. So,
yeah, no, that was a really good baseball team.
Yeah.
All right. So the other part of this is that, the reason why I mentioned those, because those are all Buster's teammates on the World Series, but they're also going to bring in Dave Righetti, JT Snow, Rich Aurelia, who come from, Righetti is in that group as well, but
oh yeah,
Snow and Aurelia are from a previous iteration of the Giants. And then go even further back. This one was for you, the Hackman.
Yes, I'm excited about that. I want to see what penitentiary phase has to say. penitentiary. There you go. Penitentiary face.
Yeah.
Because that's what they used to call him. Has to say, and, you know, him and Kuiper and Kruko all got along really well back in the day, so that should be fun. I did read a short article about broadcasting. I think there's only going to be 6 Giants spring games on TV this year, and that's it. So they're really cutting back on that. Speaking of Kruko and Kuiper. But yeah, that's exciting. I want to see Hackman there. I want to see what he has to say, because he did manage. I mean, man, he managed, you know, in the Golden Baseball League. And I'm trying to remember which team. It was one of the either Stockton or Modesto. He was, you know, in the Giants organization as a roving hitting instructor for a little bit. He also managed in single A as well. So, you know, he's been around the game since he retired. So that's going to be awesome. Bring these old guys back.
And you and I will be back in the park. We got some tickets for next year, so we'll have to figure out, you know, maybe our audience isn't quite big enough to kind of get like a little hangout going, but maybe if we let people know early enough, maybe there'll be some folks who listen who want to get together. That would be fun. But cool. So what is it, June? Are we going in June?
Yeah, it's going to be June 17th and 18th, both games against the Guardians. So that'll be fun. And both night games. I think the first night is Italian Heritage Night, which is awesome because my wife is Italian. And Dan, my brother-in-law who's going with us, he's Italian. And then the next night is going to be fun for the entire family. That's Pixar Night. So that'll be a blast because, you know, we're Disney nuts. So, but we didn't buy the special tickets, so we're not going to get the special things.
Special section that you
get, you know, all the stuff on the scoreboards and all of that. So
I'm sure there will be Giants players dressed up on the big screen as like Incredibles and all that.
As long as we get Lightning McQueen action.
And you saw that they're bringing back Lilo and Stitch. Did you see that?
Yeah, the live action Lilo and Stitch. So that's, I don't know, man. I'm sure we'll see a commercial for that during the Super Bowl. That's pretty much, I'm one of those, you know, I'm going to watch the game, but I got some home projects to be working on that day. And, you know, I'll stop to glance at the trailers because I love trailers for new movies that come out during the Super Bowl. But I mean, Kansas City and Philly, who cares?
You know,
we've seen it before.
Crystal likes hosting events on the Super Bowl. And also because it is the one game, unless the 49ers are playing, that I'm just kind of a casual fan and I don't really care. Because she hates watching 49ers games with me because I'm taking notes. I'm like, you know, really dialed in and in the weeds on certain things. And she's like, it's not fun. Like, there's no fun for me while you're watching this game. But the Super Bowl, you know, I don't really care. And we're all having a couple drinks eating some food. So it's a little bit more fun. And I'm not, you know, I watch the all the AFC and NFC playoff games. Basically, what I would do is I would record them and I would start them about an hour and 15 in. And then I would just zip through them in like an hour and a half and basically get to the end of the game. And the end of the game was live. And so that's no fun to watch either, I'm sure, for people. But I just do it just to save time. So Super Bowl will be good. And like I said, Rod and I will be back after the game to talk about it. All right, let's talk about the main thing that we were kind of looking into tonight. The NL West transactional situation, free agency trades, possible players who they lost and who are still out there to be signed. So let's start with the Diamondbacks. And I also grabbed Keith Law's farm system ranking for each team because that came out and we saw the Giants just above the last tier there for the farm system. It was tough, man. We did have Bryce Eldridge in the top 100, which was nice, but there was nobody else in that top 100. All right. So Diamondbacks, tier two. I think they were number four on his list, right behind the Dodgers. They still have two free agents who are out there and not signed to deals, Brandon Hughes and Scott McGuff. I don't know how to pronounce that. Notable acquisitions for the Diamondbacks. We know of one, Corbin Burns. Josh Naylor via trade from the Guardians, and Randall Grichuk from he signed a 1-year deal. They re-signed him. Notable yeah. subtractions, Christian Walker goes to the Astros, Jock Peterson to the Rangers, Kevin Newman to the Angels, Josh Bell to the Nationals, Paul Sewald to the Guardians, and then Slade Ciccone to trade it to the Guardians. So they lost more players than they gained, but they gained a biggie in Corbin Burns.
Yeah, that's, I mean, for the Diamondbacks, that was their get. When it came down to it, that's kind of what pushed them back above us to stay. Not that, I mean, you know, that was a team that we battled with the last couple of seasons. And I'll make sure I didn't lose you there. I pressed the wrong button.
No, you're good. I got you.
Yeah. So battling with the Diamondbacks the last couple of seasons, Giants kind of in the middle of the road. The Diamondbacks made it to the World Series 2 years ago. Last year, the Giants were kind of hanging around with them, and then the Diamondbacks took off. That move right there is just going to keep the Diamondbacks up above us. And honestly, when you get to the Padres, I wonder if that move is going to actually push the Diamondbacks above the Padres for the entire season.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And, you know, when you have a farm system that is delivering on players, because I looked at, I was like, wow, they lost Christian Walker, they lost Jock, they lost Josh Bell. But, you know, if you believe in your farm system, then, you know, some of the players that are replacing them are players in the farm system. And yeah, that's how you can pay Corbin Burns as much money as you paid him.
Exactly.
All right. Dodgers, tier one farm system. They were number three on Keith Law's list. They still have free agents, Kiki Hernandez, Brett Honeywell, Joe Kelly, Clayton Kershaw, who we all expect to be back with them, and Zach Logue. Notable acquisitions. This is a long list, y'all. Get ready.
I'm going to close my eyes.
Blake the Snake Snell. Roky Sasaki. Blake
the Dirty Snake Snell.
Roky Sasaki. Teoscar Hernandez re-signed for 3 years. Tanner Scott. Haesung Kim. Not the other Kim, who we were actually interested in. Kirby Yates. They were just like, yeah, we got Tanner Scott. If he doesn't work, we might as well sign Kirby Yates. Yeah. Our own Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
What if the curse of Conforto? Have we thought about that?
I didn't think about that. That could be good, right?
The curse.
Because with the Mets, he never went to the playoffs. The Giants, he never went to the playoffs. With the Dodgers, maybe he never goes to the playoffs. And maybe it's because they trade him halfway through the season. Yeah, but either way.
he signed a 1-year deal. Blake Treinen re-signed with them, 2-year deal. Giovanni Gallegos, minor league deal. Notable subtractions. There's not many. Walker Buehler to the Red Sox. Jack Flaherty to the Tigers. And Gavin Lux was traded to the Reds. So their acquisition, I think that was 9, and they only lost 3. So they have a pretty bloated roster. There's other moves, I'm sure, that are coming. I saw that they traded one of their right-handed relievers today just because they have too many guys and only 40 spots. So good to be a Dodgers fan, though. So we put out the show last time, and, you know, we went deep into our bitter Giants lore. And posted a separate video on YouTube and just got so many comments. And look, the video was meant to troll Dodger fans like that. We said in the beginning, like, this is what we're doing. And they delivered. I even though some of those comments were really mean, I loved it because I'm like, yeah, this is engagement. I get it. You guys are in on the joke with us. But one guy said something to the effect of like, you know, that everything is coming up Dodgers, like all the, you know, all the luck, all the, everything. And I responded and said, yeah, you know, sometimes the sun shines on the dog's ass too. And I don't think he liked that one very much, but you know, it is coming up Dodgers. It's coming up LA again, Luka Doncic. I don't know if it's coming up Angels, because the Angels were last in the Keith Law farm system rankings. It's not coming up Angels, but you know, the Rams had a good season, the Chargers had a good season, Dodgers won the World Series. The Clippers are better than people thought. The Lakers just got Luka. So it is coming up LA. And so hopefully what goes up must come down is the only thing that I'll say. All right, let's look at the Giants here. This is not a very long list, by the way. This list is less than all of the players that the Dodgers gained. All right. So they still have a free agent left. Do you know of the players who are free agents for the Giants who are still unsigned? Do you know who that is?
I mean, I could look at the list, but
his first name is Mark.
Oh, there we go. Short time Giant Mark Canha.
Yep, Mark Canha. He's still out there. Notable acquisitions: Willy Adames, which we loved; Justin Verlander, which we are okay with. Notable subtractions: Blake the Snake and the Curse of Conforto. They both went to the Dodgers, and then we just traded Taylor Rogers to the Reds. So it's a very short list, you know. Yeah. I guess what they didn't put on that list is, you know, Buster Posey and Farhan, because that was kind of outside of the Adames move. That was really the biggest move.
Yeah. That was a big one.
So the Giants are also tier six in the farm system. So bottom, I think they're bottom five on Keith Law's list. The Padres were one spot ahead of the Giants in the free agents list. They still have who is unsigned, David Peralta. Notable acquisitions: they re-signed Elias Diaz. They lost Tanner Scott to the Dodgers. Jurickson Profar to the Braves. Ha-Seong Kim, the one that we were talking about, to the Rays. Kyle Higashioka to the Rangers. Martin Perez to the White Sox. Donovan Solano, Donnie Bales, to the Mariners. So that is, six people that they lost, and they only re-signed one of their free agents, and one is still out there. So the Padres haven't done a ton at all this offseason. They're banking on just bringing most of their folks back and running it back.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, when I said that earlier, you know, I was thinking everybody made moves except for us. But honestly, the Rockies have made more additions than the Padres, and you're going to get to that. But, you know, Elias Diaz for a re-signing. And then you look at the the subtractions: Tanner Scott, Jurickson Profar is a big one. Ha-Seong Kim is a big one. Donnie Barrels did some stuff for them, you know, last year, but once they got Luis Arraez, it was pretty much, you know, we kind of push out Donnie Barrels. But not a ton of moves. And then when you look at the Padres depth chart, they probably still have enough to do what they want to do, although they're talking about moving Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. That's their number one starter. They're talking about possibly moving Luis Arraez as well. But then you look around the infield, you got Elias Diaz. Then you've got Arraez at first. You've got Jake Cronenworth at second. Manny Machado, who's getting up there at third. Xander Bogaerts, who's kind of hit or miss. He's at short. And then the outfield, you've got Lockridge, and then the great Jackson Merrill and the great Fernando Tatis. So, you know, is that going to be enough to keep them above the Diamondbacks at this point, with the Diamondbacks' speed and defense and the way they play baseball? I don't know, man. That's going to be a tough battle for a second place spot, I think.
Yeah. All right. So last team here. Another tier six farm system. So it's us, the Rockies, and the Padres, who Keith Law's like, ha ha ha, you guys and your farm systems. The Rockies. So who do they still have out there as a free agent? Daniel Bard, Hardthorn right-hander, Cal Quantrill, and Brendan Rodgers. So who did they sign? They re-signed catcher Jacob Stallings. They signed infielder Kyle Farmer to a one-year deal. And they signed our good friend Tyro Estrada to a one-year deal. Notable subtractions, none. They didn't lose anybody. They haven't yet. They still have a couple free agents left. So, so after we just went through every transaction, every major transaction, you look at who's in front of the Giants. Are you still pretty secure in the fact that the Giants are going to be chasing the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, I am. I mean, adding Willy Adames, keeping Matt Chapman, do the young guys progress? That's going to be the key question. If the young guys progress, not just stay who they are, because Patrick Bailey really offensively needs to progress if the Giants are going to go forward. Unless you add a Bregman or an Alonso, then you could just not worry about that at that point. You could just say, hey, Patrick Bailey is basically platinum glove caliber catcher. And then you've got the outfield, you've got the young guys, you've got Ramos, you've got Jung-Hoo Lee, who we still don't know exactly who he is yet. But also the pitching staff, you know, you've got Robbie Ray, you've got Justin Verlander, you got Logan Webb. There has to be a lot of progression if the Giants are going to jump above either the Diamondbacks or the Padres, whoever ends up being in the third place running. It's not out of the question. I think Zips had us at 78 wins as of right now. Zips had the Rockies at 56 wins.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I mean, really not a whole lot of promise for the Rockies. So at least we've got that. We're going to finish at worst fourth, right?
Well,
so
and here's that. The thing that we've talked about, which is it's good that the National League West is going to be competitive because it kind of forces the Giants to play up with those teams. You're constantly chasing for a wild card spot. If you can kind of play as close to even as possible with the Diamondbacks or the Padres. So I like that about it. It's kind of like iron sharpens iron kind of thing.
Right.
But here's what I do wonder. As I looked at that list, I wonder if Buster Posey really thinks this year is kind of it's not a waste year, but it's a let's play decent baseball. Let's kind of reestablish what we want the identity of the team to be. Let's play baseball in a slightly different way than we've been playing, but we don't really expect to make the playoffs. What it is we kind of recondition the team, and next year you hope to have a better look at Bryce Eldridge. You hope that by creating a new culture around the club, that maybe you are a little bit more attractive to free agents, and maybe you have a better identity around what your farm system really is. And then you run it back for 2026 with more hope. Now, you can't say that. You can't market the team in that way because the fans are like, what the hell? Like, we're not going to waste the whole year and buy tickets to go see your team. But I do wonder if he thinks about that in the back of his mind, because talent for talent, we are a clear fourth in that race, and it's not like they went out and grabbed like three or four guys like they did last year, right? When you grab Snell and Soler and Chapman, you're basically saying we're bringing talent over to the team because, you know, we are trying to improve our playoff chances, and it didn't quite work out, though they were a 500 team. And so when you're a 500 team in baseball, you're kind of sitting there for most of the year, at least with a chance. But they didn't even do that this year. They're just basically saying, look, we're going to run it out there. And, you know, we've identified the left side of the infield, and we have Jung-Hoo Lee back, and hopefully we can figure out who he is. And, you know, Justin Verlander will Randy Johnson us for, you know, for a year. And we hope that some guys can grow into spots. Wisdom Hunt, you know, Birdsong, all of those guys who we've all been kind of keeping our eye on, Kyle Harrison. So I do wonder if that's what this season is going to be. But you just can't say that that's what this season is going to be.
No. No, no, you cannot. But we feel it. And you know, Giants fans know. We see it happening in front of our eyes that it's not. I mean, I don't personally call it a rebuild. I call it a let's see what we've got season. And you and I, we've been through plenty of those before. Let's see what we've got to build for the future type of season. I mean, we were there 2007, 8, and 9 leading up to 10, 12, and 14. We saw,
you know what, though? I mean, we had Lincecum in the waiting. We were like, you know what? Even if the Giants suck, at least we get to watch Lincecum every 5 days.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're hoping. You know, we know what we've got in Logan Webb. And yeah, he's not Tim Lincecum. He's not a Cy Young Award winner, but he's been in the Cy Young Award.
He's a little Matt Caney, I think.
He is, very much so. And does he get better with Verlander in the rotation as well? Because does Verlander push him a little bit? Now that he's got a real pro, you know, real Hall of Famer in the same rotation as him, that's got to be pretty damn exciting. But we also get a chance to see what does Patrick Bailey build off of. We talked about that earlier. What does Tyler Fitzgerald build off of? What does Elliot Ramos do? Who is Jung-Hoo Lee? So all the things I said earlier are pretty much the same that I feel about this season. And I can't, I mean, I personally can't call it a rebuild. And even if Buster Posey said this is a rebuild season, I go, yeah, I don't know, because we got a lot of parts in there. You could sneak into a wild card spot with this roster. You could. It's reasonable to say that this team could sneak into a wild card spot. But there would have to be some career years from a couple guys. There'd have to be some really good progression. And there would also have to be some good pickups to add to the 26-man roster that would help throughout the season as time goes on. So, because there's not a lot of depth right now. And you talked about earlier, there's not a lot of depth on the infield. Plenty of depth in the outfield. Starting rotation, a little sketchy in depth when it comes to experience, because there's not a lot of depth experience in the starting rotation. And at catcher, you've got Patrick Bailey and you got a couple of career catchers. So that's the thing. I think this team needs a little bit more depth if they are going to make that type of run. And they need another left-hander in the bullpen.
You know what I was thinking also is they must lead the National League in question marks, because you named some players when you were going through some of the players on the team. So Marco Luciano, giant question mark. We don't know what we have. Huge. Luis Matos, giant question mark. We don't know what we have. We know what the upside could be, but we also know what the floor is, because we've watched them play for these last couple of years. Kyle Harrison, question mark. We kind of hope that, you know, that last year of him getting some experience in the rotation and facing big leaguers is going to help. But it's not like he's, you know, he's the left-handed version of Lincecum or anything. So they lead, I think, that division in sort of like the whatever the room is between the best version of that player and the worst version of that player. There's so much wiggle room for a lot of guys on the Giants. And that's where Chapman and Adames and Logan Webb are going to be so important, because they kind of stabilize the team. But at the end of the day, man, it is about talent. And you know, you have to have talent. And the Giants, just looking at the rosters, you know, for those five teams, they are closer to the Rockies than they are to the Dodgers, which is
well. And speaking of that, and speaking of talent, like you said, Keith Law, I mean, everybody else said it too. Top 100, we've got Bryce Eldridge.
Mm-hmm.
After that, a lot more like you say, question marks around. And again, that's another reason Farhan is not here. And I think Buster Posey and ownership saw that he came in. One of his big goals was to boost this farm system and make it a Dodgers farm system because that's where he came from. Make it an A's farm system because that's where he came from. Because for a while there, that A's farm system was pretty damn spectacular. They're still better than the Giants. That's the thing. And so I think once they saw that it wasn't progressing at all, a little bit of hits, you know, you got Ramos and you got Fitzgerald and you got Patrick Bailey. But again, it's not that boom where you can then trade two guys from your top 20 and still be left with a massive amount of talent and then pull in a player like a Mookie Betts. You can trade three or four top prospects and get Mookie Betts and still be okay in your farm system. Because again, there's not three or four guys in our farm system right now that would get you a Mookie Betts.
Right.
And I think that's what Giants ownership saw. And they said, we need to change that and we need to go forward. So, you know, and again, that's probably why they're not making the big moves that they're making. Willie Adames, yes, but anybody else at this point is going to cost more draft picks, which is more capital when it comes to trade. So it's going to be, I hate to say it, man, but it's going to be a long game to get to a comfortable position where the Giants are battling for. And I don't know about a National League West title, although Freddie Freeman is old. Mookie Betts is getting older. All these guys are getting older. So I know everybody says the next 10 years the Dodgers are – I mean, they're going to lose Betts. They're going to lose Freeman in that time. But again, they have the farm system to go out and get somebody else. They can go get a Jackson Merrill if they need to. If the Padres don't want to pay him down the line, they can get guys like that. So, anyways, that's my soapbox for today.
All right, we will end this with a segment that we like to call Old Guy Alley. So, I have a new doctor. And it was one of those situations where I was trying to get a hold of my old doctor. And I was like, how come I can't like schedule an appointment through the app? And they're like, well, sorry to say that she's not here anymore. So we've handed you over to this new guy. And the doctor's name is Dr. Juan, J-U-A-N. And in my phone, he is Doc Juan, not Don.
Doc Juan, there you go. Does he have a cane? Sweet.
No, very nice Asian man who I very much enjoyed talking to. But so, you know, at you and I, old guys who have to go to the doctor, and when we go to the doctor, it's really about like, okay, like let's make sure that nothing is like falling off here. Like you need, let's make sure that we're going good and we can run it back for another year. And so the first time meeting him, and I was just telling him all of the things, and you know, you and I are both on cholesterol medication. So I was telling him about that. And then I have this thing in my right lumbar, which is, I first thought it was an oblique injury. It just started hurting. And they said that they think it's a lumbar. And it just reminds me that it's there. Essentially, there's like no real pain. It's just kind of a nagging thing. And I'm like, is this something I need to be worried about? Like, can we, like, well, what should we do here? And he's like, yeah, I think it's still the same issue. And, you know, so I've just been doing like Pilates and core work and crunches. And I've just been trying to work it out in that way to try and like heal it. But it just still exists. So actually, I had to take an x-ray today on my lower lumbar area. And I was just like, who hurts their lower lumbar? and look, if you're an athlete or if you're in some sort of like constant physical thing where you're like you're kickboxing or what, like I imagine like that's a common injury. I think, you know how I think I heard it? During the pandemic, sitting on my chair at my desk. I think that's how I heard it.
I don't doubt it because I never had back problems. I worked in television, worked, you know, a lot of standing, a lot of moving, a lot of doing different things. Then when I moved into the IT field and sat at my chair, all of a sudden I started getting lower back pains and hip pain and groin pain from just sitting. And that's what any doctor will tell you. Sitting is the new smoking. Oh. So that's why they tell you, you got to get up and move like every 30 minutes, get up, stretch, do something. So, yeah.
So I'm also on this new workout thing. You know, you and I love the Apple Fitness, and Apple Fitness comes into play here
every day.
So I have a friend who I saw a story on Instagram, and there was some website like shared a photo of him, like a before and after photo. And, you know, he's already in pretty good shape, but he's going to be 50 this year. So he's a year older than me. Looks really good for his age. And the photo shared that he's been on this program and, you know, he really leaned out. And so I reached out to him. I was like, what gives? Is this like, you know, is this like a real thing or a fake thing? So tell me what you think about this. So what he does for workout, he does a 30 minute walk. Then he does a 20 minute circuit. So very similar to the high intensity interval training that you like. But it's essentially like, let's say you have a kettlebell, you go through all five exercises back to back to back to back to back, then you rest for like 2 minutes, and then you go through the circuit again, and you probably do it three times maybe. So it's like a 15 to 20 minute workout. And then after you're done with that circuit, then you go and walk another 30 minutes. So I've shortened it to 20 minutes because I want the workout to be about an hour. And so I tried it yesterday. And it was great. I tried it today, though it was raining, so I had to do exercise bike instead of walking. But that is his thing. And he's also on a low carb diet, and he does intermittent fasting, all the things that I do as well. So the idea is that when you do the cardio, you want it under that number where your body is still burning fat, versus if you get your heart rate high enough, then it's actually you're burning sugar rather than fat. So he tries to keep
zone two, right?
Right, exactly.
E-zone.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of his workouts are designed to stay in that fat burning mode, though the circuit thing does get his heart rate up, you know, near that 130-ish for us, that 130 mark, which is kind of the sweet spot. So what do you think about that style of workout?
So I'm turning 52 this year. So I'm just trying to keep up with any kind of workout for the most part. But I think from what I've read and anything I've seen, that is pretty effective. Mm-hmm. I did a 45 minute cycle today, Apple Fitness Plus cycle. And I was in, let's see if I can find my heart rate zones. I was in zone two for 16 of those, almost 17 of those 45 minutes, and zone three for about 15. So you're looking at about
pretty up then.
Well, it was up there. and then I maxed out in zone four for only like a minute and a half. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit of a lighter ride today because a lot of times my zone four is 147 to 158 BPM. I'm usually in there for about 6 to 7 minutes in a 45 minute bike ride. Rarely do I get to zone five, which is 159 and above. I'll get there sometimes for about 30 seconds in some rides. And a lot of stuff I've read too, and for effectiveness when it comes to, if you want your strength training, any kind of strength training you do, if you want that to be effective, you'll do strength first and then you'll finish it off with cardio afterwards. But no, I think that's great because again, the walking, like we just talked about, the movement, when you're walking on a treadmill is one thing, but when you're walking outside and you're actually propelling your body, mm-hmm. That's extremely effective for everything and mood, brain waves, all of that. And then it cycles down to your body. And then if you can get into the zone two after that, because getting into zone two when walking is very difficult.
Yeah,
for me,
it is.
My sleeping heart rate is like 42. And then my resting heart rate during the day is like 53. So for me to get into a zone two, I've really got to push. That's good. I mean, I kind of like that idea. And what I do sometimes too with Apple Fitness Plus is I will do, I'll kind of sandwich things. I'll do a 10-minute lower body strength training, and then I'll do like a 20-minute cardio kickboxing, and then I'll do a 10-minute lower body strength training, just to try to get a bunch of different things in one day where I'm moving and doing different things and my heart rate's doing this the entire 40 to 50 minutes. So no, that sounds like a good plan. I like that. And well, it keeps him trim.
Yeah, he's actually leaned out. I will keep you updated. I just needed something because I had sort of plateaued post holidays.
Yeah,
and so I'm doing good. Like I'm still, you know, plus 25 pounds down since April of 23. Mm. So we're coming up on 2 years, and I would like to get that to 30. That would be a really good number for me to get in 2 years. So that's kind of what I'm like, oh, just try this different thing. And if it works, stick with it. And if it doesn't, then I can just go back to stuff I was doing and figure out what the right sweet spot is.
The key as we get older is just the movement. I mean, it's really the movement and the sugars, you know, all of that type of stuff. And you know, as I get older, I love my bourbon. I love my beer.
Oh yeah.
But if I don't cut myself off by 7 p.m., I ain't sleeping well.
Yes. Which is why when you and I do this show and we have a drink, basically once I have this drink, I'm done. Because there's like if I have another drink, then it gets too late and it does affect my sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have another one right now, but that would not be a good idea.
Yeah, me too. All right, we're done. So we'll figure out if we come back next week. Starting in 2 weeks, we'll definitely be back week to week. If something happens, because pitchers and catchers won't report until the middle of next week, maybe there's a need to record. If there isn't, we'll definitely be back in 2 weeks, and we'll probably be mostly week to week from then, because all the stuff is going to be happening, and Giants baseball will be back again. So, for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.